Welcome to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network.
You know what I'm saying? I think you do.
Here's Cole Thompson.
And here we go! Welcome to Just Saying It right here on the SportsMap Radio Network. Cole Thompson back in the driver's seat, getting you caught up on everything you might have missed. Headed into a fun Tuesday morning action. 800-224-2004. Call in the show. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you hate. Let's be real. You love everything about this show. We know you love everything about this show. And we want to hear from you, the listener. So make sure you tune in. 800-224-2004. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at SportsMap Radio. Download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom, wherever else you get your podcast listening systems. We got you covered 24/7, 365 days out of the year. And do me one more favor. Make sure you download the SportsMap Radio app. Carry us in your pocket. It carries in your pocket throughout your day so you don't miss a second on our great local programming. The wonderful, delightful Michael Hernandez on the other side of the glass producing. Fun hour planned ahead. Let's talk about what's going on in Las Vegas right now. Because if you ask two different people, there is a connotation around the team about where the Raiders should go in 2023. Are they going to actually be contenders, or should they go ahead and embrace the tank for Caleb Williams? Crap it up for Caleb is what we're going with the hashtag here. Let's also talk a little bit about college football. Last season, TCU went on an improbable run, winning the Big 12, going to the college football playoff, and making it all the way to the national championship. Is there one Power 5 team that could be this year's TCU? I have it locked in my answer, and I think that you would understand why in about 5 seconds of me explaining it. Nick Nurse has been hired. Is it the right hire for said team, or should he have gone to the other roster that want him? But it is Tuesday. So we do our top 10s. Today's top 10 in the NFL. Breakout offensive players. Last season, we saw superstars like Jalen Hurts and Josh Jacobs make headlines for their impacts on their respective rosters. Who are going to be 10 names that we see become household icons for their respective franchises? Let's not waste any time. Michael, start the music. Number 10. This one's going to be a very easy one for me. He should be higher, but unfortunately, because of the games that he is going to miss, he can't be. Jameson Williams of the Detroit Lions. Jameson Williams has everything that you're looking for in a vertical presence downfield. Elite speed, great hands, excellent tracking skills. But the problem is, number one, he's coming off a torn ACL, so we have no idea what his full capability is. And number two, he's going to be suspended for the first 6 games of the season. Not trying to appeal it, not trying to go ahead and argue with it, saying, I made a mistake, bygones be bygones, let's go ahead and start things fresh when I get back in week 7. The guy in his final year at Alabama was only there for a season, but he was the king of Titletown, averaging 19.9 yards per catch and finished with 15 total touchdowns. When you have a quarterback like Jared Goff, who's going to be running a lot of short to intermediate passes, defenses are going to be playing closer up to the line of scrimmage because they're going to try and take away that short ball. When you have that vertical speed like Jameson Williams, it takes one good throw for you to be on point and a 76-yard touchdown going to the house. Part of the reason why Detroit is feeling high and mighty this offseason is, number one, the defense looks better, and number two, they have a healthy Jameson Williams. You get him on the field at the right time, I easily believe he is going to make an impact for your roster. Number 9, Chig Okoronkwo, the tight end for the Tennessee Titans. Chig last year, pretty good player. In fact, if you actually look at the numbers, he finished 2nd on the team in receiving yards, and he finished 3rd on the team in receptions behind Treylon Burks and behind Austin Hooper. So the guy was on point as a tight end, and he's a versatile chess piece. When he was at Maryland, he did a little bit of everything. Played H-back, played running back, played tight end, played flex, did a little bit of what you're looking for. Good blocker, is able to go ahead and make a lot of headlines in the passing game. But here's the biggest thing. Who's Ryan Tannehill throwing to? You have Treylon Burks, insert wide receiver number 2 here, insert wide receiver number 3 here. We didn't even know of Chris Moore, a guy who up until last year was basically a practice squad guy, is going to even make the roster. And we're talking about him as wide receiver number 2 in the Music City franchise. Treylon Burks is going to have a big year. But I think Okoronkwo, I mean, Okonkwo is going to be a name that we target a lot because of he's going to be on those short to intermediate throws, and he's going to be somebody that finds a way to get open at the right time. I expect him to be a big option to watch for on third down, and especially if Ryan Tannehill or Will Levis is playing quarterback, they're not going to be spinning the ball 50 yards downfield when you don't have a receiver that can do that. Number 8, Dallas Cowboys tight end Jake Ferguson. Ferguson was a really good player at Wisconsin, guys. I can tell you this right now. He was one of my favorite tight ends to watch last season because he did a little bit of everything. Good in the red zone. Check that box. Good blocker. Check that box. Is able to go ahead and be an efficient route runner. Check that box. What stood in his way of being an elite player? Plain and simple. Dalton Schultz was in the building. Now Dalton Schultz is in Houston. He's going to hopefully be a name and a staple for the Texans as they go through their rebuilding franchise. But you need great tight end play. You need a guy who's going to be good on third down, and you need a guy that's going to be able to work those short to intermediate routes to an E. And guess what? Until you add in DeAndre Hopkins, which we don't know if he's going to be in Dallas this year, until you know what you have in Michael Gallup, because we don't know what he is this year, until you know what you have in Brandon Cooks, because you have no idea what type of receiver you're getting, you can trust that Jake Ferguson's going to be at least an impactful player. Maybe he won't be a guy with 700 receiving yards and 9 total touchdowns, but he is going to be a name to watch for because he is good at route running, and he's great as a run blocker. He's only going to get better with age. Number 7, let's go ahead and go out to Kansas City, where they're going to have Kadarius Toney finally break out. Kadarius Toney has everything that you're looking for in terms of a chess piece. A lot of people called him the human joystick when he was drafted by the New York Giants. Well, the biggest thing with him is that he really didn't play on the field that much. And because of that, we don't really know what his upside is. But now he goes to a roster like Kansas City. They don't have a number one receiver. They don't even have a number two receiver right now. You are trusting Travis Kelce to be the go-to guy. But a guy who can be basically a little bit of everything, can play in the running back slot, can be a bit of a Deebo Samuel type, take a lot of jet sweeps, be short to intermediate passes, and have that vertical speed in the open field to terrorize and torch defenses. Yeah, I think that's going to be worthy of monitoring. I don't want to put him any higher because of I don't know what the passing attack is going to be in Kansas City this year. They have Sky Moore. They have Rasheed Rice, the kid out of SMU. And Travis Kelce is going to eat. He's always going to eat. He basically is the cookie monster in that city. But I do think that Kadarius Toney is going to be a vital part of Andy Reid's offense. And there's going to be some plays that are just schemed up, especially for him. Number 6, Indianapolis Colts tight end, Jelani Woods. Jelani Woods is a 6'7" human garbage truck because the guy literally eats up every pass that comes his way. You know how the garbage truck just goes, and then dumps it behind him? That's what Jelani Woods can do inside the red zone. He has all the capability of being a better route runner this year, but he's gotten better in run blocking. And what do we know about rookie quarterbacks? They love to target the short to intermediate stuff. So a slot receiver and a tight end are going to get a lot of receptions. They're going to get a lot of yards after the catch. Jelani Woods last year, 25 total catches, 312 yards, 3 touchdowns. He averaged 12.5 yards per play. I imagine him, if he can get better as a full-fledged route runner and he can work to the top of his routes a lot more efficiently, he is a name to target and watch for because if he has all the skill sets to put himself over the edge as one of the better tight ends in the AFC, do not be surprised if he leads all tight ends in red zone touchdowns next year, especially if Anthony Richardson and the run game can get predicated very early on in snaps. Number 5, Tampa Bay Buccaneers running back Rashad White. There's no reason why Rashad White can't be a guy. You have no idea what you have in Baker Mayfield. You have no idea if Kyle Trask is going to be your starter in 2023. And no more Leonard Fournette in the roster. By the season's end, they were starting to go to Rashad White a little bit more. He only finished with 481 total yards and 2 big touchdowns. But part of that was because of they trusted the offensive playoff Lenny. And I don't think that Leonard Fournette is going to be back in Tampa Bay. He's a free agent. They're not going to re-sign him. And you don't have a really good number 2 behind him. Keyshawn Bond's your guy. He averaged 3.1 yards per play. So I expect White, who was a great player and did a little bit of everything at Arizona State, to have a big-time year as that short-to-intermediate guy in the run game and certainly be that security blanket in the passing game for Baker Mayfield. Or potentially we could even throw his name out there, Kyle Trask. I don't even want to say that. Number 4, Denver Broncos wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Cortland Sutton, good to know you as a number 1. You're better suited as a number 2. Route running, few receivers are as good as Jerry Jeudy. The ability to work over the tops of defense, few players are as good as Jerry Jeudy. The biggest problem, catch rate. Guy drops more balls than I fumble the bag when I'm trying to go on a giant rant. So I can tell you this much. He works on those little nuances, those little tricks, at an offense that's more so predicated to him under Sean Payton. Boy, oh boy, watch out. Sean Payton was able to scheme up big-time plays during his tenure with New Orleans and during his tenure as the Dallas Cowboys offense coordinator. Now you have a premier route runner. If he just gets better at catching the football and doesn't look like Clifford Franklin from The Replacements, he's in for a phenomenal fourth season in the NFL. Number three, watch the Commanders wide receiver Jahan Dotson. I have been on record on Twitter saying this. I'll be on record on my own show saying this. The best number two wide receiver in the NFL after next season will be Jahan Dotson. Number two receiver means he's better suited as a complementary piece than a number one. So I don't throw T. Higgins in that conversation. I don't throw Jalen Waddle in that conversation. Devonta Smith in that conversation. Elite route runner, great hands, ability to work in the open field, excellent speed, is able to go ahead and play all three phases. He can play flanker, he can play in the slot, he can play on the outside. Watch out for Jahan Dotson to have potentially a 1,000-yard season if Sam Howell looks to be the guy in D.C. Number two, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Kenny Pickett. Why the hell not? Offensive line is better. Number two, you have better weaponry. Number three, you have a full year in Matt Canada's offense. And number four, and probably the biggest thing, there is no reason why you can't improve when you saw last season the adaptiveness of working alongside Deontay Johnson, George Pickens. You have Pat Freiermuth as a tight end, and you also have a better cohesive unit at the interior spot. I expect him to flourish in the AFC North. But number one is easily Chicago Bears' Justin Fields. Fields has finally weaponry. He has a better offensive line. He has a full year working with Luke Getsy's play calling, and he plays in a division that's going to be a lot of hit and miss. I expect Justin Fields to be the biggest breakout player in the NFL in 2023.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Las Vegas is a sin city. And the only cardinal sin that's going on right now with the Raiders is the inability to know if they're good or not. 800-224-2004. So, you heard the story yesterday. I brought it up. Jimmy Garoppolo signs a three-year contract to become the new face and the franchise quarterback for the Raiders. However, now there's conversations about potentially him not even playing after it was reported following him signing a three-year deal that he had off-season surgery on his foot. Now, here's some things that we now know. According to reports coming out of ESPN, there was a Animanium G, which is a title that allows you to have a waiver clause that would say if you are unable to perform, they would be out of the contract. They'd be able to terminate the contract right away for any reason that was related to the waiver, and he would not be able to get paid any of his $22.5 million salary in 2023 until he passes physical. Now, if the waiver is voided, Jimmy Garoppolo will remain a Raider for the next 2 days of the final game of 2023, and afterwards he will be released. Won't get paid, but he'll still be on the roster. Now, he also could just be straight-up released. That could easily happen. Don't think it will, but naturally that's what occurs. But say he doesn't play in 2023. Where is this team ranking? Where is this team at? Look at the way that this roster is built. Do you feel confident that a name like Jimmy Garoppolo is coming into the building to save your franchise? Yeah, you have some role players. You have some damn good players too. I mean, like, let's be real. The Raiders are probably one of those teams where if you were to put them on an all-star team, like, this would be like where you add in a player because of, oh, well, they have just really good talent. Like, you ever watch the MLB All-Star game and every single team is represented and you have to send somebody from, like, the Kansas City Royals who are 50 games below 500 or the Detroit Tigers because of, well, everything's got to be fair. This is kind of what you have right now with a team such as Las Vegas. Like, you have Max Crosby, who is an elite player, elite defensive player. You have Hunter Renfrow, who is a good slot receiver. Not elite, but a good slot receiver. You have Devontae Adams, still, in my opinion, the best receiver in the NFL. Josh Jacobs, an incredible running back that is not going to get paid because you don't pay running backs in days of the league. And maybe you would throw in Colton Miller, the left tackle. But that's about it. Like, that's what you have. So, Jimmy Garoppolo is coming in to save your roster and be an upgrade over Derek Carr. And that Derek Carr was not worth a pretty penny on the open market. But Jimmy Garoppolo was. The notion is, do you embrace the tank this year to go ahead and crap it up for Caleb, i.e. Caleb Williams, or make it miserable for May, Drake May, the Korea kid out of UNC, or do you try and be a contender? There's really not a right answer right now. Because of either way, I think that you're going to be in trouble. I do. It doesn't mean that I think that you can't win enough games to get out of the conversation of picking top three to where there is no Caleb Williams coming to your town. There is no Drake May in the backfield for 2024. But I also don't think that you're in a good enough spot to where you can sell your franchise on being good. There isn't one. Because if, say, you don't have Jimmy Garoppolo play this season, let's just go ahead and humor ourselves and say he's not going to be on the field. Who is the quarterback starting for Las Vegas? Well, unless you go out there and you add in a Matt Ryan, who he is not going to go play for a dumpster fire franchise and be the face of mediocrity after being the face of mediocrity for one franchise that seems to find a way to mess it up every time possible. He's already done that. Why do it again? He's not. I also don't think you're going to be able to get Tom Brady. Yeah, sorry, folks. I know there's people out there saying, well, Tom's now part owner. He did all this because it was backhand planning to be able to have a say and maybe, just maybe, be a player coach. Be that guy. Nope, not going to happen. Hate to break it to you, folks. He's not going to do that. So you'll have a Carson Wentz as probably your best option. Is anybody right now looking at Carson Wentz and saying, oh, yeah, we got to go ahead and bring him into the roster? What was funny was I got in an argument with somebody not too long ago on Twitter, on Spaces, and they were saying to me how Carson Wentz was a good enough option to take you out of the number one spot, and there's a spot warranted for him in the NFL. Brother, he ain't in the NFL right now. There is no way that he is playing on an NFL roster after last season, and nobody seems to want him. Don't believe me? We're in June almost. It is May 30th, and Carson Wentz, former number two overall pick, and potential MVP prior to a torn ACL, is left unsigned. You think anybody out there wants him? And even if you were to bring him into the roster, would you feel confident starting him for a full 17-game season to lead your team to a playoff goal? And everyone wants to talk about adding in Jimmy Garoppolo as a lateral move. Yeah, it's a lateral move compared to Derek Carr, but it's a significant upgrade over Carson Wentz at this point. The thing is that I still even believe with Jimmy Garoppolo on the roster, this version of the Las Vegas Raiders is going to be in the cellar of the AFC. Not because of I don't think that the Raiders have the talent. The Raiders certainly have added talent this offseason. I like the addition of Tyree Wilson. I love the addition of Michael Mayer, the tight end out of Notre Dame. I think if you're going to run what Josh McDaniels wants to call his own offense, might as well bring over Jacoby Myers and call it a day. I think that's a great move for you in that sense. But does anybody think that right now, the way the Raiders are built at linebacker, in the secondary, the interior offensive line, they're a threat to go up against Patrick Mahomes in the AFC West? They're even in contention for second place with Los Angeles? They even have a shot of getting to third place with Sean Payton and the Let's Ride Denver Broncos? Does anybody believe that? Anybody out there, call on the show. I would love to hear your opinion on why Las Vegas is going to be that team. So even if you have Jimmy Garoppolo, do you think that you're going to be that much better? The thing is that people are going to say it's bad to tank. You're right. It is. It's horrendous. It's bad for fan bases. It's bad for revenue. And it's absolutely asinine in a year that you're hosting this. I mean, you're hosting the Super Bowl. Nobody in Las Vegas is going to be talking about this team other than just being a dumpster fire of a franchise leading up to Super Bowl week. That'll be a subject of conversation. Trust me, I know it. I have worked a Super Bowl before. I have worked on Radio Row before. When we talk about teams and we talk about where we go to cities, that is a point of conversation. We're here in the lovely U.S. Bank Stadium, home of the Minnesota Vikings, who can't make it thus far, even though they made it all the way to the NFC Championship that year. You want to talk positively about the city that you're hosting in, not calling it a dumpster fire. But most people would probably be wanting to talk about how you had the number one pick over picking how you were a bad team. And yeah, Devontae Adams, he's going to be on the roster. Yeah, he still could be an all-pro for that matter if you had Jimmy Garoppolo. If you don't have Jimmy Garoppolo, you have Brian Hoyer, which is going to be the right move because you know Brian Hoyer is not going to be brought into the building. You have Chase Garbers, former kid from California, if I'm not mistaken. And your other quarterback, Aiden O'Connell. Fourth round pick out of Purdue, who's like 25 years old and was a seventh year senior that couldn't get the Boilermakers to a Big Ten championship. You think that any one of these guys is going to lead you with Josh McDaniels to the staff? No. The thing with wanting to tank, which is a positive in my opinion, and it's the only positive I can say this year, is that the quarterback of the future could be in line. You said you want to upgrade over a guy like Derek Carr. You said from the get-go that you want to bring in the next big-time name to lead your franchise. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo's not going to do that, but Caleb Williams can. If Caleb Williams is exactly what we think coming out of USC, he plays up to a standard, he's able to go ahead and build off his success last year, he is easily penciled in as the number one overall pick. In fact, there were already scouts this past year saying that if Drake May and Caleb Williams were eligible to be drafted, don't worry about Bryce Young. Don't have a conversation about C.J. Stroud. Who gives a flying fadoodle what the upside is in Anthony Richardson? You have two guys that this year would have easily been off the board at number one and number two. You wouldn't have to worry about Carolina saying, do we go with the smaller frame QB? No, you say we're going to take Caleb Williams to call it a day. Oh, Houston, they're going to be without a guy? No, they're going to have Drake May walking into the building. But Caleb Williams, if he has this type of year, is a guy that you feel like is an upgrade over Derek Carr. Not just in terms of youthfulness, but in terms of production, arm strength, mobility, accuracy, footwork, decision-making, all those little tools and traits. And the biggest thing of all, if you are a tanking team this year, you get rid of the biggest problem in the room. The easiest solution is to cut the head off of the poison in this cobra. And who is the poison? The guy still calling the shots in Josh McDaniels. And I think that Josh McDaniels is a fine offensive coordinator. There's a lot of good people in the industry that are great at their job when they are limited. When they are told, hey, you belong in this category. Guess what? You'd be fine. If I got asked tomorrow to go ahead and be on a politics radio show for the next 20 years of my life, you know how long I would last? Probably about a week. Because if no one wanted to listen to my political takes, because you want to know why? I don't have any. I don't think that it's good to talk about politics personally. I think when you add politics into anything, it leads to very souring conversations. And there is no ability for you to be able to come out victorious in this. So I stay away from that. Josh McDaniels can be a fine coordinator. He's great at running an offense. But when you tell him to run a team, he finds a way to pile drive it into the ground with a point of no return. So if you find a way to look at a positive on the let's try and build our roster for success in 2023 with maybe Jimmy Garoppolo, with maybe Brian Hoyer, or you say, I mean, you know what? Let's just suck it up, get a quarterback of the future, and get rid of the problem at head coach, start fresh in 2024, maybe that's a better plan in the long run.
This is Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Last season, a team from the Big 12 made headlines by going to a national title. Could we see a first-year coach make the same impact on a new roster in 2023? 800-224-2004. Let's talk about TCU for a second, ladies and gentlemen. And yes, we are getting back into college football season. I love college football. I talk about college football all the time, away from people, with fans, with friends. I want to talk about college football on this show. And as we enter June and July, we're going to get closer to SEC meetings. Guess what? That's going on right now in Destin, Florida. Guarantee you it's going to be on tomorrow's show. Locked and loaded about the future of the SEC. We're also going to be talking about other teams on the cusp. Every Thursday, we're throwing out a team that I believe is going to be an impactful roster that potentially can hoist up a national title. But nobody expected TCU to do this last year when Sonny Dykes was hired. Nobody expected the Horned Frogs from Little Fort Worth to be able to come out and make the immediate impact, lead the roster all the way to a Big 12 title appearance and a college football playoff appearance to make it all the way to national title. Nobody expected that. Nobody did. But they did. They had 5 ranked wins against Big 12 teams. Not to mention they were undefeated in the regular season. Made a couple switches, and look at that. They were automatically fighting for a national championship. Got blown out by Georgia, but to be fair, I would say every team besides Ohio State was going to get their asses handed to them by Georgia. Yes, that includes Michigan, because Michigan gets in its own way every single year. But who is the team this year that has a new head coach, a veteran roster, and good players that potentially could hoist up a national title, or at least be in the national title conversation as a dark horse? Not going to throw them out there as a legitimate contender. So this isn't an Ohio State. That doesn't meet the criteria anyways because you don't have a first-year coach. This isn't a team like Alabama. Doesn't meet the criteria anyways because you don't have a first-year coach. Who is that team, you might ask? What if I were to tell you they played for a Power 5 conference that everyone is focusing in on as a legitimate powerhouse of the future? What if I were to tell you that they have a coach that's highly respected but hasn't gotten the opportunity to coach at an elite school because of he's been at the lower tier level, but he's had success before? In fact, he's had so much success that we've talked about him on this show multiple times, and I have listed him as a top 10 coach because of, I believe, regardless of level of play he's been at, he's going to get victories. What if I were to tell you that team was Wisconsin? What if I were to tell you that Wisconsin this year has all the capabilities of being a team that goes to a national championship? 800-224-2004. Let's look at the Badgers real fast. What does Wisconsin have? Great defense. Last season, Wisconsin was phenomenal defensively. You look at their metrics, they were actually one of the better teams in college football. Wisconsin last year ranked just outside the top 15 in scoring defense. They allowed an average of about 20 points per game. As a run defense, they were really, really good at the point of attack. They ranked top 10 in stopping the run. They were one of, I think it was 10 teams that held opponents to under 100 yards rushing per game. As a pass defense, they have their struggles. I'm not going to sit there and lie. They ranked 29th, but 29th isn't bad. As an offense, that's where the problems ensued. They didn't have a great quarterback in Graham Mertz. The run game was a little deteriorated because of the play calling by Paul Christ and later on by Jimmy Bell. And the overall sense with the wide receiver play wasn't that good. Shamiri Adike finished with the number one scoring at 689 yards. But you add in Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell is a better coach than Sonny Dykes. And that's not me saying that Sonny Dykes is a bad coach. Sonny Dykes is phenomenal at what he does out in Fort Worth. And he was phenomenal when he was at SMU. But you would easily take Luke Fickell in a 10-round battle over Sonny Dykes. I think everyone would. Even with the air raid offense underneath the likes of a guy such as Mike Leach's disciple, you'd probably trust that offense. And why would you do that? Well, because the offense that's being brought over is the same type of offense. Air raid style that's going to be predicated on a more balanced approach with Phil Longo, who was the offense coordinator for years at North Carolina. And what do we know about North Carolina last year? They turned Drake May into potentially the number one overall pick in 2024. It turned Josh Downs into a 1,000-yard receiver. Oh, and while Phil Longo was there, he also helped Sam Howell get drafted, and he led North Carolina to an Orange Bowl appearance in 2020. So that same offense is going to be there. Quarterback is the big deal here. Max Duggan was a guy who had all the capabilities of being a great passer, but he needed to have the right coordinator leading the charge. Kenny Hill was not their option. Kenny Hill and Sonny Cumbie were not working for him. You know who was? Garrett Riley. Garrett Riley comes in with Sonny Dykes. He turns Max Duggan into a Davey O'Brien Award winner and a Heisman finalist. Well, that's because he was a veteran quarterback. He'd been around the block. Tanner Mordecai, former SMU quarterback, now comes to Madison. He now is leading your charge. In production, automatic upgrade over Graham Mertz. That's a huge win for the Badgers in that forefront. They also have a few quarterbacks on the roster that they really do like, one of which is Miles Burkett, and another one is Nick Evers, who used to play underneath a similar style of offense or was underneath a similar style of recruiting offense by the likes of Lincoln Riley, another high-tempo offensive-type guy. So you add that into the conversation, you have options at your biggest passing game. You still have a great rushing attack, a 1-2 combination of Braylon Allen, who averaged last year 5.4 yards per play and had 11 touchdowns, and Chez Mazzulli, who finished with 4.2 yards per play and nearly did the same amount of production in terms of yards after contact as Braylon Allen in under 100 less carries. You still have good wide receivers on the staff. And one thing that you know about Wisconsin, and the one thing that we know about Big Ten in general, they produce offensive linemen like no one's business. Luke Fickell has been to a college football playoff. Luke Fickell made Cincinnati relevant before they joined the Big 12. In fact, you look at the way that roster was built with Desmond Ridder, with Jerome Ford, Sauce Gardner, Kobe Bryant, Ivan Pace Jr. The list goes on and on and on players who eventually heard their names called in the NFL draft. Those guys are a reason why the Bearcats went undefeated and lost one game in 2 years and force their way to knock on the door and say, hey, we belong in this college football playoff. We're a group of five school, but we have power five talent. And that was because of coaching. That coaching immediately transpires early on in Madison. Their schedule is very easy. Their schedule is very winnable from the get-go. Game to start off the year against Buffalo. Then they go travel to Pullman to face off against Washington State. Easily a game that could be a trap. But they also, the offense clicks very early, get a win. Georgia Southern at Purdue. At Purdue, guess what? New quarterback, new head coach. Ryan Walters, never been a head coach before. I think Ryan Walters is a star in the making at the industry. Guess what? You have no idea what he can do as a head coach. Luke Fickle's got 6 years of experience with this. Consider that a win. Rutgers, Iowa. Iowa, no idea what the offense is going to be. If they have a great defense underneath Bill Parker, cool story, bro. The offense has to be good for you to do anything with the Hawkeyes. Illinois. Illinois loses its defense coordinator. They lose their quarterback. They lose some of their star players, including running back Chase Brown. That's a big deal for them. Ohio State. Ohio State is the big game. You can pass Ohio State, close out the year, Indiana, Northwestern, Nebraska, Minnesota. Minnesota is the one trap game that I would throw into the mix. Besides that, Big Ten West belongs to the Badgers if they want it. You get past Ohio State in a year where they have questions on the offensive line, where they have questions at quarterback, where they still have questions defensively, and they lose a smorgasbord of talent. And everyone in Columbus right now is saying, is Ryan Day the right guy? This is considered a quote-unquote down year, even though the roster as a whole is probably the best in the Big Ten. I don't think I'm that far-fetched to say that, ladies and gentlemen. You can go ahead and throw Michigan at the top. You can go ahead and say Penn State's ready to go ahead and be a contender. Yeah, that's a great song and dance. Top five recruiting classes the last 3 years underneath Ryan Day for the Buckeyes. And we're still saying that this is maybe a down year. If Wisconsin can go ahead and get past Ohio State on October 28th, four winnable games to close out the year, an easy shot to Indianapolis at Lucas Oil Stadium. TCU need to get on a run. They need to find a way to get those wins. And the biggest thing, well, you saw other teams get ranked at the right time. Not everybody that TCU played was ranked by the season's end. But when they played them, they were. And that is considered a top 25 win. In the RPI rankings, in terms of college football playoff standings, that's a win that the committee will look at every single time. And they also play in this thing called a Power 5 conference. That Power 5 conference, considered by many the second best conference in college football, only behind the SEC. If Luke Fickle, if Phil Longo, and if a guy in Tanner Mordecai can come into the building, work with a defense that is still going to be, in my opinion, top 15 underneath Kerry Coombs, that has the playmakers and has the talent to still be an effective play, an effective unit that works well against the blitz, can play efficient in coverage, and can make a lot of open field tackles, 11-1 is very plausible. 12-0 is almost unlikely heard of, but it isn't improbable. You can go ahead and say what Auburn has done this past offseason is phenomenal. They still play in the SEC West. The Big Ten West, wide open race. Illinois, no idea. Iowa, no idea. Minnesota, they're a dark horse team that I would consider to represent the division in Indianapolis. They also could be a 6-6 team this year. No one has any idea. The pathway through Madison to get to Lucas Oil Stadium is a clear shot if you have the right personnel in place for a team like Wisconsin.
You're listening to Just Saying It on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Cole Thompson.
Do you ever feel dumber when you read something and you wonder, how does this person actually get it published? 800-224-2004. At Mr. Cole Thompson on Twitter, at SportsMap Radio. Download the Just Saying It podcast version of the show on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, Audio Boom. Wherever else you get your podcast listening systems, we got you covered 24-7, 365 days out of the year. And download these the SportsMap Radio app, carries in your pocket throughout your day so you don't miss a second of all of our great local programming. So, I was reading a story yesterday night, and I was driving home. Kirsten was driving. I was sitting in the front seat about the Dallas Cowboys. I love talking about Dallas. I think you know I love talking about Dallas. In fact, I haven't been talking about Dallas a lot on here because I do enjoy our station, The Ticket, up in the greater Dallas area, and I want them to know that I care about you. So, I sometimes bite my tongue when I talk bad about Dallas. But I'm going to talk positive about Dallas for a second. Story read that maybe Dallas Cowboys don't need a guy like DeAndre Hopkins on their roster. Maybe their receiving core is so good with Michael Gallup, Brandon Cooks, CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, Tony Pollard out of the backfield, with Peyton Hendershot at tight end. They're good enough to not need an all-pro wide receiver who still has the capability of being a number one. And then you would have potentially three former number ones on your staff, with Michael Gallup being your number four. But Michael Gallup told SI.com, Cowboys Country, Mike Fisher, if I'm not mistaken, was the guy, that you don't need DeAndre Hopkins. You don't need a guy like D-Hop on your staff. Do you want to know why bad teams stay bad? Because they listen to that BS and think that it's okay. They think that not having an all-pro wide receiver is okay. If you have the funds to be able to afford a DeAndre Hopkins, you pay for a DeAndre Hopkins. And even if you have him as a number two receiver, you pay a DeAndre Hopkins. Why? Because it makes your offense better. What do we know about the Dallas Cowboys? Well, last year, they had a quarterback that led the NFL in interceptions. Now, I have been on record multiple times defending Dak Prescott. Hate to break it to you folks out there in the Dallas area that don't think Dak's the right guy. Dak's a top 10 quarterback in the league. He is. Numbers say it. Metrics say it. Production says it. He is a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Now, part of those interceptions were easily on Dak, throwing into double coverage, making a last second read when he probably should have thrown the ball away. Easily should have been a guy that probably had a second thought and instead blew it up. That's easy to go ahead and talk about. I have no problem saying that. But part of those interceptions was because of drop balls, because of bobbled catches, because of plays not going the right way because the receiver ran the wrong route. And you can see it on film if you watch the All-22. Dallas still last year ranked just outside of the top 10 in passing. They still, however, ranked as an offense inside the top 10. Average about 354 yards per game. So good numbers. But you want great numbers. And you don't have your offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore up there anymore. So Mike McCarthy is calling the shots this year. And maybe he'll eventually let go of the play calling. But as of right now, he is the one with the final decision. He is the judge. He is the jury. And at the end of the day, he's the executioner that's either going to go ahead and decide you get to live or you get to have another year where you wonder, America's team, we're back to being a divisional NFC opponent and then not making it to the NFC Championship for, again, the last time in three decades. That's where we are as a team. DeAndre Hopkins is a much better receiver at this point than Brandon Cooks. And I think Brandon Cooks still, in my opinion, is a top 30 receiver in the NFL. I love the fact that you have CeeDee Lamb, a young up-and-comer who's already top 10 at his role, is a great route runner, phenomenal after the catch, and can be a long-term number one. 88, throw up the X's like Dez Bryant, because if you can be that guy. I think that a guy like Michael Gallup is a very sufficient player. I think that he's very good. But you're going to tell me right now that Brandon Cooks is stopping you from signing DeAndre Hopkins, if you can afford it. You're telling me that a guy like Michael Gallup is stopping you, if you can afford it. Right now, when you look at a team like Dallas, they technically can't afford it. Would they have to move some salary cap around? Yeah, naturally, but everyone has to do that from time to time. But when you look at the numbers as of this morning, they have enough salary cap space to put themselves in at least the conversation. $14.1 million. It's going to cost DeAndre Hopkins a one-year deal, $10 million. I think that's probably what you're going to get. And if you can have an offense that now features Brandon Cooks as your number three, and CeeDee Lamb as your 1A, and DeAndre Hopkins as your 1B, who, when on the field, is still productive, there is no reason you don't make this move. You are trying to finally set yourself a course of everybody else out in the NFL, and you have a great defense. Nobody's going to argue that your defense is not going to be top five next year, or at least top 10 next year. Great pass rush. My opinion, you probably did a great job fixing your interior defensive line with Mozzie Smith coming into the building. I love the addition of DeMarvian Overshown. I thought that was an excellent selection because it makes you more versatile with a player like Micah Parsons. Instead of saying, hey, you're going to be playing linebacker, you say you're a chess piece. Go ahead and work upfield, get in the backfield, and kick that quarterback's ass. That's what you can do. And you need to find a way to put yourself over the top in a division that features Philadelphia, with elite playmakers, with a stalwart of an offensive line, and a defense that is going to have a setback because of the names they lost, but they just replenished this offseason. If Nolan Smith hits, who gives a damn that you lost C.J. Gardner-Johnson? If you get a great player in Jalen Carter from the jump, who gives a damn that Javon Hargrave is now out in San Francisco? No one's going to care. And if you still have excellent production from Jalen Hurts, the division still runs to the city of brotherly love. You want to put yourself in that conversation? You add in a DeAndre Hopkins, and you don't allow anybody to tell you otherwise. Articles like this drive me up a freaking wall because of what you see is a negative notion about how a team is trying to talk themselves into not adding in premier talent. You are the Dallas Cowboys. You can easily afford any talent that you want. And if Jerry Jones wants him in the building, you bring him in the building. You are tired of being the joke of the NFL. And I hate to break it to you, folks. The joke of the NFL is Dallas because of Dallas every year has these sky-high expectations and they always put the cart before the horse and they say by week four, we're back. We're right there. We got it. Yeah, we got it, man. No, you don't. You want to get there? Yeah, and then DeAndre Hopkins. And you know what the best part is? Say he's your number three. Well, Brandon Cooks has 6 1,000-yard seasons under his belt. He could be a number two, and DeAndre Hopkins could be a number three. I would say right now, if I were to be a betting man, Odell Beckham Jr. becomes a force and a staple in Baltimore, not as your team's number one. And yeah, are you paying him like a number one? Of course you are. But you want to know why you're paying him like a number one? Because you can afford it. Because you have Rashad Bateman on a rookie contract. You have Zay Flowers on a rookie contract. You already have Mark Andrews paid up. And you have Isaiah Likely, a tight end that I am very high on. And the only reason I didn't list him inside of my top 10 breakout players is because of if all of the weapons in a system like Todd Monken hit, he's going to be the odd man out. And he still is going to put up valuable numbers and valuable assets. Because if everyone did so the last few years at Georgia, nobody was ever an elite playmaker besides Brock Bowers, but Brock Bowers was your driving force of the offense, just like Mark Andrews can be. But you still had great receiver play. So I can say that about Isaiah Likely. You know what I can also say? Is that even if Odell Beckham Jr. is getting paid $20-plus million to be a number three, and it ends up panning out and gets Baltimore to a Super Bowl, nobody is going to give a flying care in the world about what the asking price was. Why is that? Because it got you to your end goal. And Dallas right now has the opportunity with a great defense underneath Dan Quinn and a quarterback that I still believe can be one of the better quarterbacks in the NFL, even though I don't think he can lead you to a Super Bowl single-handedly, to go ahead and hoist up that Lombardi trophy. The NFC is wide open. It's a wide open race. If Jalen Hurts regresses after getting paid, Philadelphia is about a 10-win team. We have no idea who's playing quarterback right now in San Francisco. That elite defense could still be elite. It also could take a step back because the architect in D'Amico Ryans is now calling plays in Houston. So the open window for you to attack and pounce is there for the taking. Add in a quarterback. I mean, add in a wide receiver that does this for your team. Add in a playmaker that makes your roster better. That's what good teams do. And Michael Gallup is a fine receiver. I have no problem with that at all. But do you think right now, where you are as a roster, is good enough to hoist up the trophy at the end of the day in Sin City? If you do, cool. But if you don't, well, then you only have yourself to blame. You know what makes you a roster that certainly is at the forefront of every single conversation this offseason? DeAndre Hopkins. You know what you could always use? Another weapon for a quarterback who I have been on record saying can take you to a Super Bowl, but won't be the reason you win the Super Bowl. Weaponry alone will be that guy. Add in DeAndre Hopkins, pair him alongside CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, and a play calling system that maybe ends up working out. You're probably a front runner in the NFC. But hey, what do I know? Just want to go ahead and read some more BS that is actually saying we don't need a DeAndre Hopkins.